Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Varna Chari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giravaradhari. Yasoda Nandana Prajachana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Varnachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Jaya Radha Madhava has all the Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan are included inside the song. Srila Prabhupada once told us that Jaya Radha Madhava is Kunja Bihari, Yasoda Nandana, that Krishna is the son of Mother Yasoda Nandana, Gopi Jana Vallabha, he's the lover of the gopis. So there's a lot inside that one song. This is why we sing it every day. I don't have a book and I can't see the board. So I could just tell you this Bhagavat Purana is as brilliant as the sun. It's arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode, accompanied by religion, knowledge, and so on. And persons who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness of ignorance in the age of Kali shall get light from this Purana. Did anybody bring a Srimad Bhagavatam to class today? You'll have to find a verse for me.
We're not doing a verse today.
Oh. Why aren't we doing a verse?
It's because it's Krishna. The next 4 days, up to Jamasa, we don't just stop doing Bhagavatam.
Okay.
We have to do a verse. Not a long way.
I've been going to the Russian classes, so I'm a little out of touch of what we're doing right here. Like today, 10th canon. Yes, please. Today, Hari Leela is giving class. When I say Russian classes, they're actually always in English, or like 90% of the time, and then translated into Russian, so it's a small crowd and a lot of nice speakers, so I started getting in the habit of going over there. And So today, we're talking about the prayers of the demigods to Lord Krishna. So what's happened so far is that Kamsa was a big demon who heard the voice in the sky that he was going to be killed by a little baby. And he put his sister and brother-in-law in a prison and slaughtered all the children that they gave birth to, up to number 6. And then the next child was Lord Balaram, who he was transferred over to the womb of Rohini. So he didn't get slaughtered. And then there was a lot of information about Lord Balaram. He's a Anantashesha. He's the source of all the Vishnu incarnations of Krishna. So now Krishna's in the womb of Devaki, and Kamsa's always worried about this because he can understand that child is going to be, that this is the child, number 8. He's been counting. And the 8th child is, it all started with the voice in the sky, which we figured came from the demigods, that said the 8th child of your sister is going to be the one that's going to kill you. So he's quite concerned because he's a demon. Demons, they worry about themselves. That's a quality of being a demon, is that they have no compassion for others. They only worry about their own personal sense pleasure, their own personal prosperity. They don't have any love for anybody else. Although they may put on a show, like they may cooperate with another demon, but then they, at the end of the day, they always just care about themselves. Sometimes when we talk about modern demons, we come up with conspiracy theories, because you can see that the demons will work together and exploit many millions of people or kill many millions of people and do things. They seem to work together sometimes. So they call that a conspiracy, you know, like look at all the bankers, and we throw around words like Trilateral Commission or the Illuminati. We talk about these, how demons working together, but actually they never really trust one another. They never really love one another. They can turn on each other at any time. Just like the demons were fighting over the nectar drink with the demigods, and the demons, they fought over this nectar of immortality that came from the churning of the Mandara mountain. Kurma Rupa appeared, and after a great struggle, the demons prevailed, and they got hold of this immortality nectar that they were all looking forward to drinking, but instead they started fighting amongst each other, right? They started saying, who's going to drink it first? And then they got into a fight, and then Krishna appeared as Mohini Murti, because demons, they always like women. So she came along and then grabbed it out. She talked them into handing it over to her. And then she just went over to the demigods and gave it to them. There was one demon that was kind of crafty. named Rahu, and then he disguised himself as one of the demigods to try to get in on the nectar, and he actually got a little bit. But because Mohini Murti was Krishna, she chopped off his head with the Sudarshan Chakra, and then he became a type of a planet, like a big rock that's going around the earth, closer to what the scientists think the moon is than the actual moon. The actual moon is, as we can see, it's a great, powerful planet that actually gives life to vegetables, and it's huge. You know, it's one of Krishna's eyes. Krishna has two eyes, and Bhagavad Gita says, "I've got the eye of the moon and eye of the sun." And the moon's supposed to be farther away than the sun, so there's no chance that in today, either 50 years ago or today, that somebody can on this planet can get inside of a metal spacecraft and go to the moon. Have you ever met anybody who's ever been to the moon? No. So if it was that easy to go to in 1969, it, certainly in 2019, 50 years later, it would be more people have gone to the moon. You know, there'd be like a regular, you know, just like we have buses that go to Calcutta and back, there'd be a way to get to the moon. But since that's not going on, we can understand that they can't get there. But Prabhupada did say that maybe they landed on Rahu. Rahu sometimes is described as eating the moon. That's called a solar eclipse or a moon eclipse. So Rahu's buzzing around. But the point is that demons are the opposite of devotees. They're full of envy, and they have personal desires, and they don't trust anybody. They'll do anything for their own survival. Whereas a Vaishnava will sacrifice, like Lord Jesus Christ, he sacrificed himself to go save others. And there was the story of Vasudeva Dutt, who wanted to take on all the sins of everybody in the whole universe so that they could be delivered back to Godhead. So Vaishnavas think like that. We had Srila Prabhupada. He was always full of compassion. And he sacrificed his own personal comfort to travel across the ocean to get to America. So because he knew that he had to spread Krishna consciousness in the West before it would spread anywhere else. He tried for a long time preaching to Indian people, but he could see that they were also interested in the West, and then making money and trying to become an industrialized nation. So he gave up a very comfortable position in Vrindavan, just like we have a comfortable position here in Mayapur, right? Everybody we like living here. And it's nice prasadam, and it's devotees are everywhere. But then there's the mission. Like Hari Sari was saying the other day that we have to, in the Jayapataka Swami Seminar Sangha, JSS, Hari gave a lecture, and he said that we have to try to preach somehow, you know. For a lot of us, it means we have to go back to our countries or to another country. We have to get out and preach to people to bring them to Krishna consciousness and give up a nice life here in Mayapur. Not forever, but, you know, for some time, to be able to spread Krishna consciousness. We get purified by being in this holy dham. And therefore give up all other desires and aspirations. Live in Mayapur, worship Gaur Hari. You need no longer fear the bondage of material objects, for it is certain that you will attain the service of Gauranga's lotus feet. By the Lord's mercy, liberated souls can always see the pastimes of Krishna and Gaura in this holy dham, Sri Mayapur dham. Lamentation, fear, all causes of disturbance, all material desires, and all the afflictions upon a conditioned soul cannot exist here. So this is a great place of pilgrimage. That's a verse from Bhishma Dev. Bhishma Dev appeared here in Mayapur, like so many other great personalities that have come here for purification. But then eventually you have to go out and or preach to people, or there's also preaching to people here in Mayapur. That's another way. If you don't want to leave Mayapur, you can take up the mission of preaching to people here. Like we go out on Harinam. Has anybody here ever gone on Harinam here in Mayapur? All the devotees here, anybody? Well, you might want to try it sometime. It's a great way to reach others, especially if when the kirtan spreads into the crowd and everybody starts chanting Hare Krishna. Because really what we call preaching is just spreading the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And there's people who come here, they're attracted by what's actually a really nice theme park. It's a theme park that you don't have to charge. People aren't charged at the gate. Like in America, we have Disney World and Disneyland. There are theme parks that you go there and you experience a different kind of reality. And they're really expensive. Like you pay to get in the door, you pay every time you eat, you have to pay to get on any of the rides, to go inside any of the exhibits. You're constantly just paying for every. But here, there's prasadam is provided for people, and people are given a great time. There's wonderful clean grounds that they can walk around, and there's a fountain back there, and they go and relax, like out in the park behind the temple. And of course, there'll be the Burmandala, the temple of the planetarium, which is already an exhibit, even though it's not finished yet. It's quite amazing to look at. And then there's of course the greatest feast for the eyes, the Sri Radha Madhava, and their eight associates, and then the Panchatattva. And Panchatattva is absolutely amazing, isn't it? Krishna and five features. We all have experience of seeing Shishu Panchatattva and having their darshan. This is the Panchatattva room. So this is that's another way to preach without having to leave Mayapur, is by help guiding people, making friends with them, teaching them how to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, sell them a book. One of Srila Prabhupada's books, introduce them to Srila Prabhupada because he's in his books. And Prabhupada wanted us to preach to people like that. He said, I remember there was one morning walk in 1976 that Srila Prabhupada said that we should just stop everything that's going on all over the world and bring all of our, close down everything and just bring all the devotees here and just develop Mayapur. And then Rameshwar was walking next to Prabhupada on this walk, and he almost had a stroke because, what was Prabhupada saying? And he says,
But Srila Prabhupada, we have so many preaching projects going on all over the world.
And then Prabhupada said, well, we'll preach to people here. We'll attract the whole world to Mayapur, which has become a famous statement. And he said that we can build an airport. And he pointed his cane over in this direction, where kind of behind the Goshal, where he said that an airport can be built there. And then people will come from all over the world, and then we'll preach to them. Since that conversation didn't end up in the folio, I confronted Rameshwar about it a couple years ago, 2016. I ran into him for the first time in a long time. And I immediately wanted to kind of confirm this with him, because I tell this story sometimes, and I like to make sure that I got it right. And I said, Rameshwar Prabhu, do you remember in 1976 when Srila Prabhupada said to close everything and just bring all the devotees here and develop Mayapur? And he said, well, Prabhupada says something like that. And I said, he didn't say something like that. He said exactly that. And then you said, but Prabhupada, we have so many preaching projects going on all over the world. And then Prabhupada said, we'll bring people here to preach to them. You remember that, don't you? And then he said, yes, but that's not really what he meant. What he meant was that Mayapur is very important. So I settled for that, because I was happy enough that he didn't just deny me. You know, like, I don't know what you're talking about. Prabhupada said who? Prabhupada who? You know, but he confirmed that, yeah, Prabhupada did say that. Now, whether Prabhupada really meant it literally or just to show the importance of Mayapur, we'll never know. But we do know that it was very important to Srila Prabhupada that we reach the people who do come to Mayapur, that everybody who comes in is a guest of Shri Radha Madhava, and that they have a good time while they're here, and have a chance to get an association of devotees, have a chance to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, hear the holy name. So we do that. It's actually very, there's a lot of preaching going on here. It's really very inspiring. Srila Jayapataka Swami is the fearless leader that heads up the preaching. He understands how to make devotees in Bengal. For instance, I have a family. One of my sons married a Bengali, and her name is Shakipran Devi Dasi. So Jayapataka Swami's made the whole family into devotees. This is his expertise. He understands. You might notice that Bengalis, they stick together in packs, right? You rarely see anybody come by themselves. You know, they're always in a group. It's generally like you could see a whole family, you know, sort of like a changing body exhibit. You know, there's like the little ones, and then there's, you know, the teenagers, and then there's mom and dad, and then there's grandpa, and maybe great-grandma. You know, she's in the wheelchair. So Jayapataka Swami understands that if you're going to make devotees around here, you have to make the whole family into devotees. So we go to visit the in-laws of my family. My son Nabhadeep Chandra, he married Shakipran Devi Dasi, who's a disciple of Jayapataka Swami. Her sister is Sanantan Gopi Devi Dasi, and She's married to Prema Chaitanya Prabhu. Some of you might know him. He runs the Ganga temple down at the Ganga at Prabhupada Ghat. It's a pretty well-known family. His father and mother are Sunyakanya Devi Dasi and Pankaj Netra Das. And they run a shop over there by the Samadhi. Next to, there's like a Goshal booth, and then they have a shop. And they have another shop up here on the wall. And then his brother-in-law, or Prema Chaitanya's brother, is Leela Mritadas. So they live in one big gigantic house that has about 20 rooms. And the whole family is Jayapataka Swami disciples. And he doesn't have a... He may have a lot of disciples, but they're not cheap initiations. These devotees are all pretty quite serious, I noticed. They have an artik every single day. You can go there at 6:30, 6:45. And they have a full altar, as big as a lot of temples I've seen, actually. They have Gorni Thai, Jagannath Baladev, Subhadra, and Radha and Krishna deities. And it's quite a big altar, and the whole family, they come to the temple. If they come to the mandir, then it's a pilgrimage. You know, they also, Prema Chaitanya has a son and a daughter, and everybody's devotees. This is by the power, the mercy of Jayapataka Swami. One devotee was asking me, when did Prabhupada say that Jayapataka Swami was an associate of Lord Chaitanya? And I said, well, I don't know exactly, but I can tell that he has the mercy of Lord Chaitanya pouring through him all the time. He's able to spread Lord Chaitanya's mission. And he actually gets the credit for making all these devotees. I've always appreciated Mayapur because it's a whole city full of devotees. When I was a new bhakta, I had a dream about some city that was, everybody was a devotee. They chanting japa, they had tilak, neck beads, dhotis on, saris, kuntimala. So that's Mayapur, you know, the town that Srila Prabhupada built. And Prabhupada made it, he made the framework, and then it's been filled in by Jayapataka Swami and the devotees who have assisted him. And it's very, very systematic here on how they make devotees. Like, there's some places in the world now that the temples have become, ISKCON temples are running, but they're kind of running on a maintenance mode rather than really expanding. But here we can see that Mayapur is always expanding. Like Jananivas told me one time that there was, that the other different holy places in India are like lotus flowers that are closing up because they're being covered by the Kali Yuga influence. But the golden lotus of Sridham Mayapur is blossoming, opening, and with the TOVP it being built, it's become the place where the mercy of Lord Chaitanya is emanating from and going and spreading all over the world. Like here, you can see that it starts off with people will come and they'll come from a long way. There's people who come here from all over the world, and all over India, and actually especially from Calcutta area. You know, this is a close place, you know, somewhere to go for a holiday. So there's so many buses kind of rolling in all the time. And people getting here on train and all the different, you know, trains, planes, automobiles. And then they get inside and they may meet a devotee, sell them a book. But then they go to the Artik, and then they find out about the morning program. So then they come to the morning program, and it's quite likely that if they go to Mangal Artik, that they'll get caught up in the japa seminar, right? Then it's time to chant japa, and then everybody's all gathered around. You know, not everybody goes for it, but a large percentage of the guests sit down, and they get handed some beads, and they chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, and chant their first round. And the Prabhupada says that once somebody starts chanting Hare Krishna mantra, then they become devotees. And if they like it, then they start chanting more. And then they get serious, because the purification of the holy name, Chaito Darpana Marjanam Bhava Maha Devagna Navapinam, that the holy name of the Lord cleanses the heart, and people start becoming devotees. Like we say, sometimes that both the demon and the devotee are inside the same body in Kali Yuga. You know, we were reading about Krishna killing so many demons in Vrindavan, because back then there was like demons and then there was devotees, so Krishna could kill the demons and then not like the Yadai Yadai Dharmasha Glani Bharatar Bharata. You get rid of the demons and then you take care of the devotees. But in Kali Yuga, we have a kind of a mixture, you know, with like George Harrison, right? Everybody here has heard of George Harrison, the Beatles, because we know that he did a fantastic service for Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada took him back to Godhead. He spread the holy name all over the world. He had devotees who knew him. I read some biographies, and he kind of had a little mixed personality sometimes. In the 80s, he didn't really feel like Hare Krishna. He just wanted to forget about that for a while. He was making a lot of money. He was really famous. And he just kind of shelved Hare Krishna for a little bit and wanted to just enjoy life as a famous rock star. And Mukunda came to see him during that time. And he turned him away. He said, that Hare Krishna stuff, was a long time ago. You know, I'm not really into that right now. You know, he started eating non-veg. But then the way the material energy is, Maya has different potencies. You know, one of them is that she covers, like she can cover us up and we can become completely forgetful of Krishna. But then she also has another potency that she kicks. And she kind of sort of kicks us back into our senses, so we start coming to seeing things from Krishna's point of view. So George, during that time, remember he ate some mushrooms to try to enjoy a psychedelic experience, but then he got so high that he fell. It was in Hawaii, and he fell and he cracked his head open on the cement of a swimming pool. So we go to have a good time at a swimming pool, but if you fall and hit your head and it cracks open, then, well, that's not so much fun. And then later on, he got attacked in his house, and somebody stabbed him, and he started going back to Krishna consciousness real quick. He started, when the man was stabbing him, he was chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And then he ended up, he liked to smoke. I remember one time I read one newspaper article that they said that, well, what do you think of the Hare Krishnas? He goes, well, I have a very nice relationship with them, but I can't join them because I can't give up smoking. But then smoking gave up him because he ended up with cancer from smoking, and then he couldn't smoke anymore. So it was all these different pleasures that Maya had given him. I mean, and you talk about facility. I mean, did he have facility? He had lots of facility to enjoy, like Guru Kula Maharaj said about King Yayati, right? He just had all kinds of facility to enjoy. But just like in that last, when I first got here, the story was all about King Yayati. Anybody remember King Yayati? He had 49 wives. And he went back and forth, you know, with being good and then having to, and then trying to enjoy the material world, and then having things go terribly wrong. Like he got cursed with the old age, and then he somehow managed to trade the old age in for youth, but then he enjoyed for 1,000 years, and it just turned out like he just wasn't satisfied. So he became a great devotee at the end of the story. That was right before we went into this 10th canto. So George Harrison was like that also. He, in the 90s, he became very, very serious about his sadhana bhakti and Krishna consciousness. And he came to Vrindavan, and Prithu Prabhu spent a lot of time with him. There used to be a display in the Berlin, Germany temple of all the pictures of Prithu and the German devotees with George Harrison. I don't think that display is up anymore, but those pictures are there somewhere. And you can see that George was really taking shelter of the holy names. He had his bead bag, he wore this nice white kurta, and he had his tilak on, and became a real absorbed the Madhurya Ras in Vrajadam, chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Hare, Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And he chanted and took shelter of the holy name for the next few years until he left his body in the year 2000, surrounded by Vaishnavas who were doing kirtan. And we know that he was certainly given the favor of Srila Prabhupada because of the great service that he did. I know that a lot of us owe our Krishna consciousness to George Harrison. Is there anybody here that would say it was by George Harrison that they became a devotee? I know Jnanivas did. Jnanivas, he went to one of these concerts that the devotees, because, you know, when in 1969, George Harrison, after he became a devotee, then he made a record called the Radha Krishna Temple, an album. And the devotees became a rock band. And they weren't particularly superstars. Actually, all they did was just simply what we do every day, you know, that they play madanga, kartals, and harmonium. They were doing the morning program. And George Harrison pulled the whole thing into the Apple Records studios and turned the, you know, just some simple Vaishnavas that were doing the regular kirtan that we have every day, and recorded it and put some other instruments on it and turned the thing into a hit group. So then they became very popular. For a little while, they were touring all over Europe, especially Germany and England. So they had I think most of us have read the Chasing the Rhino book by Shama Sundar. A lot of us have seen that book. Well, in that book, it's not the only place. There's many places. The Leelamrita. It's a big history. Yona's book, Lifetime of Devotion. Because it is a very significant event in the in Srila Prabhupada's preaching. It was part of the Hare Krishna explosion, you know, from 1966 until 1970. Hayagriva wrote a book called The Hare Krishna Explosion. So it was phenomenal how Krishna consciousness went from Srila Prabhupada being all alone with no money to doing his first Harinam Sankirtan and meeting some devotees and going out on Sankirtan in New York. And then that turned into the first temple, and then Srila Prabhupada started making devotees, Vaishnavas. And then Prabhupada, he immediately had a vision that this handful of teenagers were going to go and open temples all over the world, and which they did, actually. You know, then they started going, and first they went all over America, and then so the Krishna consciousness went. It was just actually phenomenal. If you've seen the movie, Hare Krishna, the mantra, the Swami, and the movement, you can see that it just happened really fast. You know? That, like when I joined Krishna consciousness in 1974, devotees were just joining. You know, this went until Srila Prabhupada. Well, it's still going on today. But I shaved up with... That was like a significant thing. When you move into a Krishna ashram and then you shave your head. Just like all you devotees, right? You're new men. So there was that ritual. You'll never forget when you shaved your head the first time, right? Or for Mataji's, the first time you put on a sari and put on a tilak, right? It was significant moment in our lives. So Srila Prabhupada had all these recruits that were coming in, and this Hare Krishna mantra was spread especially by what was called the Radha Krishna Temple. Prabhupada went to San Francisco, and then the biggest rock groups of the time, the Grateful Dead, Janis Joplin. Janis Joplin had an amazing voice, and very powerful voice that was singing right as Prabhupada came in the door for the big concert. All these people were friends of the devotees, and they hosted Srila Prabhupada and let him spread the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra to a ballroom full of like hundreds of people. And then Prabhupada had Harinam every day, and the devotees started feeding all the people in San Francisco. They had what was called the Summer of Love. Now the history is that Srila Prabhupada was the one who made the Summer of Love full of love. Where'd the love come from? It's in a Western history, they give a lot of attention to the summer of 1967 in San Francisco because it changed the course of history. It changed the youth of America, and in this way it affected the whole world, because after all, America, what America does has a tendency to affect the whole world, especially back then. So If you look at 1966 in San Francisco, what was there that wasn't there in 1967? And, you know, 1966, the Beatles came to San Francisco. There was also LSD. There was so many, all the same parks, all the same places, all the same people. So what happened in 1967 that made a significant change in history that included things called love beads and flower power and vegetarianism? You know, where did all that come from? Well, we know that it was this divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Prabhupada, he brought the whole show. He brought the flowers, like I have flowers right now. That Prabhupada brought in the chanting of the beads. He brought in neck beads, japa beads. He brought the love beads. He brought the diet. The devotees, they served prasadam because, the hippies, as they became called, didn't really have any way to eat except for the devotees, except for Prabhupada. I mean, they had this philosophy where you turn on, tune on, and drop out and love everybody. Well, that didn't really bring in a systematic organization of prasadam, except for Prabhupada. There was no food. Like they would hang out in Golden Gate Park, and then the next morning, like, they're really hungry. So there was one place where they could get something to eat, and it was Bhagavat prasadam. Srila Prabhupada, he had the devotees just gather bhoga and then cook and serve out. They were serving 150 to 200 people every single day in the year 1967, if you can imagine. Out of a little storefront that's about one-fourth as big as this room, all the devotees were generating that kind of energy. And then they had the first Rath Yatra. Like Srila Prabhupada said, that Prabhupada was looking out the window and he saw this, he saw a truck go by, a flatbed truck. And Prabhupada said that, he told Shyamasundara, come here, I have an idea. We're going to take the Rath Yatra festival that's been in Puri for thousands of years and we'll perform it here in San Francisco. And Srila Prabhupada, he made a little drawing of a truck, and he put four walls, and he made a design for the Rath Yatra cart, the first Rath Yatra cart. So the devotees had brought for the first Rath Yatra, and then that was 1967, 1968. In 1968, Prabhupada opened at Los Angeles Temple, and then Tamal Krishna Goswami started to show his glories. He became the Sankirtan leader for ISKCON. This is ISKCON was only a year, less than 2 years old, and then we have a Sankirtan leader, His Holiness Srila Tamal Krishna Goswami. And then he organized the Los Angeles Temple and to go out on Harinam. And with Vishnujan Swami, and they would have Harinam and Sankirtan and distribute Back to Godhead magazines all day long. And money started coming rolling in. And then devotees went and opened temples all over the place, including Montreal, Canada. And then from Montreal, they springboarded to England. You know, we call springboards like, well, I don't know if any of you ever... You don't have so many swimming pools over here, but in America we have a lot of swimming pools, and they always have a springboard that goes boing, and then you jump off of it and land in the water. So from Montreal, the six devotees, Gurudas, Yamuna, Janaki, Mukunda Maharaj, Shama Sundar, and Malati, and little Saraswati, were sent into England. And they met George Harrison of the Beatles, and they got help from these different rock stars, like Mick Jagger from the Rolling Stones. He donated money for the marble and the wood, you know, so that they could build a temple. They rented they got the first temple in Bury Place, and then started making devotees. And then they made this record, and then they became a rock group that was invited to different places. So they put on shows and late at night, and it would be, you know, there'd be the lineup would be different really big famous groups. You know, it'd be like Jimi Hendrix, and then the Moody Blues, and then it'd be the Radha Krishna Temple. So this was very effective, actually. So one day they had a big, huge concert that so many people came, and the devotees were chanting. They got so many people to chant. And Jnanivas and Pankajangri wandered in there and became devotees, right? And here, Jnanivas is here now. And he's told me this story. And it's an ecstatic story. He became a devotee because just see how Krishna consciousness spread. Prabhupada said it spread like wildfire. He told that to Tamal Krishna Goswami about China. He said, just go get it going. He said, just light it. And then you'll see it'll spread, you know. Like I grew up in California where we have a lot of wildfires. It's not unusual. You may have read about them. Sometimes somebody goes out and has a campfire, and then they start the forest on fire in just one small little place, and then the whole mountain burns down, you know. It burns for days. It's a bit of a tragedy. But it's an example that Prabhupada used for spreading Krishna consciousness, that you just ignite it, and then, you know, one person becomes Krishna conscious, and then they go and make other people Krishna conscious. Look at Gaur Govinda Maharaj. Somebody, he's still preaching, isn't he? Right? You know, he's one of ISKCON's greatest saints. Well, he came to Krishna consciousness because he got a back to Godhead magazine from somebody. Somebody took the trouble to distribute a BTG, and then he, you know, look at the result. So many people have become his disciples. So I also experienced this, that I wish I could thank the devotee that first contacted me. He was out in front of a department store in Los Angeles in 1973. I was 15 years old. And I'd seen the devotees one other time. One thing that was very powerful was that devotees would always dress as devotees when they went out in those early days. Some people say that it's better preaching to wear Western clothes. Sometimes it's true that if you don't wear Western clothes, you won't be able to distribute books in some places. But Tamal Krishna Maharaj used to always point out that it's preaching to wear our Vaishnava clothes also, you know, like Prabhupada said about the devotees in England, that in traditional Vaishnava dress, or like Lord Chaitanya, he appeared in the garb of a devotee. There's a verse that says that. So Lord Chaitanya, he didn't just happen to wear dhoti and the way he, you know, shaved head. He didn't do that just because that happened to be the fashion at the time. Actually, the scene was set so that the Lord would appear, and that we, dressing like this, we're following the standard of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So I remember first seeing the devotees from a distance, and we called them Zulus because we didn't know what to think about them. You know, the shaved heads, Elog, shit. One thing that I could tell, though, was that they were very bright and effulgent, and everybody else seemed like dark in comparison. Like the first time I saw Srila Prabhupada, he came in the front door of the Atlanta temple, and he just seemed to light up the whole place. So Vaishnavas are sometimes they say that they glow. We see that Krishna, he always has an effulgence, right? Sometimes when they dress the deities, they have an effulgence of Krishna. So I was going to the store, and I didn't have much money on me. So the devotee, I didn't get a book, but he gave me a stick of incense, and I gave him a nickel and two pennies. And he took that money and put it into the collection for the temple. That day it was New Dwarka, and that began my devotional service. And the devotee who began my devotional service it didn't look like he was really having a very good time. It was in February, it was really cold, and his nose was red, and I noticed that his socks didn't quite match. And he wasn't really having that much fun. I could tell that he wasn't having a really, you know, he was having a pretty hard day on Sankirtan. And he was all by himself, and he was left there the whole day from morning until it got dark. So he might not have known that how he made me a devotee, but actually my devotional service began on that day. And all of us here, right, we all had that miracle where somehow we became an association of Vaishnavas, and by their association we took up the process of Krishna consciousness. So that's the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. From my experience, is there any comments or questions that anybody has about Jivana?
I just wanted to mention one interesting detail about the Radha Krishna album that they recorded. That George booked some time at Apple Records, which is a big company, and they recorded. They had Jamuna and Mukunda singing, and they had all playing different instruments. There's a few devotees there. And when they finished, the devotees were ecstatic. That was fantastic. It was great. And George Harrison said, it's something missing. We need a bigger chorus. So it sounds like there's so many people chanting. And the devotee said, okay, well, you know, we'll come back tomorrow. We'll see if we can grab a few more people. He says, no. We got to record this today. He says, hold on. And he left the recording studio, and he came back about 5 minutes later with every single employee from Apple Records, the security guard, the secretaries, the cleaners, the head people, 30 of them. And so they're all singing in the chorus for Hare Krishna on this album. And the devotees are looking at him and all going, Hare Krishna, well, they had never chanted before. He said, but by the end of the record, everybody was just in ecstasy. And so it came across on this particular album. But not everybody on the album was a devotee.
That's the power of the holy name. I got invited to a preaching program a couple of months ago. It showed me that the Hare Krishna explosion isn't just something that happened once upon a time, but it's still happening to this day. We went to a little town called Champapura, a train stop town, and I was with some Russian devotees and a few other Bengalis. There's this one devotee that organizes these things. And we were there, we were ISKCON, you know, and I felt like the only Krishna consciousness they had there was a a really small Gaudiya Math temple with a single sannyasi that invited us. So this was just maybe like 3 months ago. So we got out there and we set up the sound system and had a kirtan. And there's maybe about 10 of us all together, ISKCON devotees. But we got that whole town, that whole village. I wouldn't call it a town. I'd say a village. It wasn't that many people, maybe about 150 or so. But everybody came to see us. And I felt so happy to be, you know, to be part of ISKCON, you know, that, and be on this preaching engagement, because we really brought the party. And we started chanting, and people were listening, and then the devotees stood up and started dancing. And then the crowd stood up and started dancing. So within 15 minutes, or half an hour, suddenly this whole village is chanting Hare Krishna ecstatically and doing, you know, like the locomotion, you know, where you get behind these people and you do circles. They were doing circles. There was people grabbing hands and doing spin-arounds and dancing, you know, side by side, back and forth. You know, the Matajis and the men kind of polarized and were dancing like a contest almost, a dance-a-thon. And everybody became completely overwhelmed in ecstasy from the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya. So I just want to recommend it. You know, if that's how we're going to be able to go back to Godhead, is by getting the mercy of and giving the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. I mean, some of you are natural born Brahmins, and your heart's been clean since you were raised in this great culture, the Vedic culture. But there's some of us that actually don't do well with purification until we actually get the mercy of Krishna and be able to spread the holy names. I'd like to end with just a quick story of Sudama Prabhu, for instance. He was a sannyasi, African-American devotee, black man, I guess you could call it, and he was very extremely talented. He put on a lot of plays. He put on one play, and he produced Prabhupada a lot, and he organized the Vaikuntha players, put on Ramayana play, and did a lot of great service. The Age of Kali, he put on the Age of Kali. And Prabhupada, and he opened a temple in Japan, and Prabhupada told him, because you've opened a temple in Japan, I will take you back to Godhead. And Sudama's mother, she met Srila Prabhupada, and she complained that he's going to, because he's not Christian anymore, he'll have to go to hell, because he's rejected Jesus Christ. And Prabhupada said, no, he hasn't rejected Jesus Christ. He's just serving Jesus in this way. And I guarantee you that I will take your son to the kingdom of God. So Sudama Maharaj, he left his body a few years ago. And his son got out of practice. And kind of, you know, devotees are kind of like submarines. Sometimes, you know, they sort of go under somewhere and you're not really sure when they're going to come back up. But he came back to the Association of Devotees and had a roaring kirtan and his passing. And then he said, Prabhupada is here for me. And he could see Srila Prabhupada, who took him back to the kingdom of God. So Prabhupada can take all of us back to the Krishna Loka, back to into his pastimes, wherever Prabhupada's preaching now. We can all go there. We just have to get on this love train, the Sankirtan movement of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaunitaya ki jai.